me going. Those days when I feel like giving up, fire.
Jonathan McKnight, it's a blessing to be here on this opportunity, on this prayer call, on this Tuesday evening. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the evening the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. I'm just grateful to be able to share with you on this evening. I want to say to each one of you, to your family, to you, and just in general, we just praying and believing God for your safety, for your protection, that angels will be stationed around us to keep us in all our ways. Believing that no evil shall befall us and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. I'm just grateful unto God for his goodness and for his protection. And one of the things that I want you to understand on tonight and this evening is that our life is in the hand of God. And what we mean by that is everything that is going to come to pass, God already knows. Everything that's going to make an attempt, God already knows. And one of the things that I want you to do is I want you to put the self-assurance in the fact that God is in control of every situation that happens in our life, and we just need his protection. The chaos of this world, the unknowns of this world, the things by which we seeing signs to me that go back to the Old Testament, signs to me that when God wanted to show man that I control the narrative of life, it's my earth. I made the world. You know, sometimes when I think about it, do you know man acts like they made the world? Man tries to oftentimes, and when I say man, not just a male, but I'm talking about man and woman. They try to act like they own the world and own the narrative just because they might be in a position, a judge, or maybe it's a particular political party. And many times we get and go too far beyond the limits when we start trying to control the narrative of God. There are people that have enough nerve to try to tell God what he should be doing. And there are times when we have to understand that God controls the narrative of every situation that happens in our life. That's why we have to trust in the Lord. We can't lean to our understanding. In all thy ways, we have to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So many times, people have a lot to say, but they haven't even acknowledged God. And somebody say, you know, many times I hear people say, I acknowledge God. Well, if he acknowledged him, he will tell you which way to go. And one thing about it, God's not going to lead any of us down the wrong road. It's not his will that any of us perish, but all of us be able to walk according to the purpose by which Jesus has set in John 10:10, that says the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you have life more abundantly. And I'm getting ready to get into the word of God just for a few moments, and I'm going to pray with you. But one of the things that I think that I'm gravely concerned, and when I say gravely concerned, I am gravely concerned about the mindset of how man constantly thinks. I'm thinking about as I go back to when man says we're going to open back up the country. And people begin to say we're going to do this, we're not going to do that. What has been the state of our world and our country since man thought that he had the authority to say when to stay and when to go and when to do this and when to do that? I've watched God say to man, I am God. And you know what? Mark my words. Anytime man tries to act like he can't hear God, God will show him that he has to see him, and he will move in such a way by which man has to bow down and understand that God is God. Now, with that being said, I want to go to the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, And I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. I'm going to read verse 22, 23, and 24. Father, we want you to bless this word tonight. We hear you. I've heard you today. And I'm asking you to move by your spirit and move by your power. We say yes to your will and yes to your way. And let this teaching tonight and this prayer be acceptable in thy sight. And I pray, God, that you're touching families as I yet speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus said in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, unto them, have faith in God. I'll read those two verses again. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. He went further to say, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. One time I read 23 and 24 again, once again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I want to talk to you for just a few moments, and then I'll pray with you about the principles of faith. The principles of faith that lines up with the power of prayer. When I'm thinking about this, so many times we go through life, and I believe that there are believers who don't want to believe or hear themselves say that I don't trust God, because it's really an indictment against their whole spiritual belief system. And sometimes when we go through life, we go through the roller coaster of faith. We believe in one moment, we're on that high, and then something happens and it swoops back down again. The principle of faith, when you have faith, that means you have confidence, you have reliance, you have dependency, you have trust, you have a belief in who God is and what God does. And so many times the principles of faith is not just having faith, it's understanding how faith operates. Even the atmosphere of faith is important. That you make sure your mind is in an atmosphere of faith. We are living in perilous times. We're living in troubling seasons. We're living to where the average believer is being tested on a daily basis. Wait, some way, shape, or form, that many times we don't even know what God is doing or when God is coming, or we're waiting on him and patiently trying to make it happen by not offending him, by coming over into anxiety and stress. And sometimes when you go through life, you just don't know what God is doing, but yet you're still trying to believe him and move in the principles of faith. Faith needs to be an atmosphere of trust, and it needs to be in the declaration of when we speak, repeating what God says. There's a principle in faith that says, I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to have it yet to believe that it's mine. Faith has a principle called anticipation and expectation, by which you anticipate that God is going to do something. Therefore, your attitude and your posture is positive. You know, there are so many negative Christians and believers. There are so many people who say they love God, but yet they're just negative. They don't have positive declaration. Their thoughts aren't positive. Do you know your thoughts are tied to your faith? I hear people say all the time, I trust God, I believe God, but the enemy can bring fear upon you so quickly. See, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, so when fear is over you, you don't even have to wonder if it's God. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. See, when you have faith, the enemy just can't come along and just overtake you with depression and oppression because your expectation is bigger than your situation. You're literally going through life, and you don't even know how things are going to work out, but you know who is going to work them out. There's a principle of faith, and I want to go over three things with you quickly, and I'll finish with this text. Faith cannot be what God has just done for someone else. It's good. I get encouraged when I see what faith done for Peter when he walked on the water. I get encouraged. We know Paul and Silas cried out to God in prison, and God unlocked the doors. I get encouraged to see a woman with the issue of blood just touch the hem of his garment. Jesus goes to the grave and calls forth Lazarus. He touched the blind man's eyes, and they become open. And he's done so many miraculous things, and those are good. But there comes a season in life and a time in life when faith has to be personal. There literally needs to be something, and I call it the monumental miracle. The miracle that you don't even have the nerve or dare to try to act like it was something that you had to do with it. Literally, when God decides to do something for you and you're going to believe him and know the only thing that you can contribute is faith and praise. Faith has a principle. It has to be something that you have concluded that if it's going to be done, God has to do it. Here's what else faith does. Faith shapes our perspective, and our perspective shapes our behavior. I just said something that was not shallow. Faith shapes our perspective, and our perspective shapes our behavior. Let me explain that. When you trust God and when you believe God, the enemy just can't come along and rattle you to not trust and believe God. And with the shaping of your perspective of who God is, then your perspective and how you see it and how you believe it now begins to shape your response to God. Faith is a part of your behavior. Faith is saying, no, I'm not going to have to get you back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I don't have to fight that. God's going to do that because that's what he said in his word. Faith shapes your perspective, which shapes your behavior. A third principle, the first one was, faith cannot just be what God has done for someone else. It needs to be what God has done for you. The second principle is, faith will shape our perspective, transforming the way we live our lives. The third thing is, faith can be an eye to the Spirit in order for Jesus to reveal all whom himself says he will be. let me stop and talk about these times, and I'll reference the scripture by which I've read. We are living in one of the most unique, unexpected times since I've been on this earth. I never saw the NBA shut down, the NFL shut down, baseball shut down, basketball shut down, sports shut down. Never did I see that. Never did I see it. Houses of worship, some, shut down. Disney shut down. Universal just opened back up, but looked like they might have to shut it back down. SeaWorld shut down. Opened back up, but the way this thing is going, might have to shut it back down. The workplace shut down. The church place, in many cases, shut down. Went yesterday to do a deposit in a bank. The main bank I bank at, branch closed, shut down. Things are shutting down. Over 100,000 businesses have shut down. 25,000 retail stores are shutting down. Major companies and corporations shutting down and filing for bankruptcy. 40 million Americans filing for unemployment, shut down. But guess who's still open? Faith still keeps miracles open. And the thing that you got to understand is this. When you have faith, you got to control the narrative of who speaks. When God is getting ready to do something, you got to let the word speak. Let me read the text now, and you're going to see exactly what I'm saying if you are hearing in the spirit. And Peter, now Jesus had came, and the fig tree was there, and there were leaves, and it should have been buds. It not should have been full of figs, but it should have been full of buds, which means there's enough in it to where he can be fed. And the Bible says that Jesus was hungry and went to the tree and found nothing but leaves. He turns around and Jesus does something. He cursed the fig tree, not verbally, like some of y'all. He didn't say cuffed, he said cursed, which means he spoke to the root of the deception, and he spoke to the fig tree that should have had more potential revealed to be able to suffice him in a season of being hungry. He said, no, I'm tired of trees with just leaves. You should have had some fruit. You should have had some buds. You should have had some production. You should have had some visible manifestation rather than just having attraction. Lord have mercy, I know I just said something. You should have had some manifestation. There should have been enough on you, tree, that you should have had something on you to help meet the need of my hunger. You had the attraction to get me to visit your purpose, but your purpose was only external. There was something wrong with your root system. There was something wrong with what you were tied to. There was something that was depleted because even though I know this wasn't the full season of figs, it was the season of buds. It was the fact that something should have been showing that is coming in its full-blown harvest. But when I got to you, there was nothing but leaves. You had a sign that you could produce, but you did not produce. Therefore, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He curses the fig tree. They go in and do what he needs to do, And tell you, Jesus was very radical. He went into the house of prayer and told him, you're going to turn this into a den of thieves. Jesus said, no, I'm not going. I got to shut this down. He shut down the tree who wasn't producing. And he went to the church and said, you know what? Y'all done turned it into something that I never turned it into. It was supposed to be called a house of prayer. But you merchandised the gospel in such a way to where even my church is not producing what I wanted to produce. Jesus curses the fig tree in the principle of faith. And the Bible says in verse 21, and Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst yesterday or that evening is withered away, is withered away, has completely dried up. He said it, he meant it, and it dried up. And Jesus, at the astonishment of Peter, the unbelievable memory of Peter that said, I remember yesterday we passed this tree and the roots are so deep on a fig tree. But the word that was spoken, it dried up. And Jesus didn't reference the tree. He referenced the principle. He told Peter, have faith in God. I'm getting ready to close. He said, have faith in God. That's the principle. We haven't gotten it. We haven't learned. We haven't, and see, here's what we need to understand. Until you catch it quick, you're going to still have trouble in your life. You're going to still won't even know whether you're coming or going. You stay in his name, but you don't have faith in him. He said, you got to understand the principle of faith. It's a bunch of people right now putting themselves in a dangerous situation, talking about they trust God enough to go into an environment, in many cases where there's a COVID-19 and coronavirus, they have enough faith to try to sit up in a church, but they really don't have faith in the Lord and God over the church. Faith and the main principle of faith is having faith in God. I don't have no faith in no Republicans and no Democrats. I don't care who the next president is going to be. You still going to have faith in God. See, right now already the narrative is being set. If we can get rid of one and get this one in, the country is not going to be better until we start with the main principle. And that is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then they'll hear from heaven. And they'll heal the land. I'll heal the land. But you got to have faith in God. The principle of success, the principle of peace, the principle of rest at night, the principle when your money gets low, the principle when your bills are due, the principle when COVID knock on your door and perhaps slip through your window, the principle of letting cancerous cells know and leukemia and diabetes and high blood pressure and tumors and cysts and all type of diseases, understand that I got the principle. I got the principle that I'm going to have faith in God. Yes, the doctors are nice. Yes, in some cases, they're necessary. Yes, the nurses do what they can do, but they have only only so much they can do. I got to keep the principle. The police can't go and arrest COVID. You can put a mask on, and COVID still can be there. See, God is allowing things to happen that you're going to have faith in him. Used to be a time when COVID-19 first came out, the coronavirus, oh, somebody act like they was an expert. Oh, it's just for our elderly. It's just for the older people. And how about the last four cases I done heard of in the last 4 or 5 days have been all under 21. One as low as 8 months old. You and I got to have the principle of safety and have faith in God. And here's something else. You better have faith in wisdom. And the wisdom of God. I'm not trying to prove whether or not I have faith in God by trying to just be around people. I'm telling you right now. Have faith in God. A lot of people like to go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. We're going to start in 23. And verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, shall not die. See, we start right there. Like that's where it starts. It don't start right there. It starts at verse 22. Because they don't use you speaking to the mountain. And the mountain ain't going nowhere if you don't first have faith in God. You can go and have a prayer meeting and fast 40 days, 40 nights, and lose 24 pounds. But if you don't have faith in God, you just lost weight. That mountain ain't going nowhere. That sickness ain't going nowhere. Because you're missing the principle of faith. The principle of faith is to have faith in God. You know what? Let me hit y'all with this, and I'll close out. And I guess I'm going to pray with y'all. Y'all probably saying, this man here is a trip. You better get on this faith journey. Are you going to stay stuck like Chuck? I'm telling you right now, ain't nothing going to move until you have faith in God. I'm not a person on social media. I don't do all of that kind of stuff. But I hear people say, especially Christians, this one, they big one. Well, they act like they done said something profound. They act like they done dropped prophetically out of the sky. See, sometimes they love to say this. I've been around church all my life. People who talk church and people who've been around church can't fool me now. Not like that. No. Got too much experience. I hear the cliches. I hear people say it so easily. They say it so powerfully. Like they done said something mighty. Like the crescendo done came down. Oh, God is doing a new thing. Okay. In who and for what? See, he ain't gonna do the man of God, the wisest man in the earth, say ain't nothing new under the sun. What we call new is just being revealed to us. He said, I'm gonna do a new thing, so you're gonna have to have new faith. Now you wanna back up and pause. You don't wanna hear that. See, sometimes people say God doing a new thing so you can just try your new idea. Sometimes people say God doing a new thing because you want to switch from something that you quietly know ain't working. So you say you're going to put a new thing handle twist on it so you can get out of jail free card for not having faith the last time. Sometimes we say God going to do a new thing and we done quit on the last thing. We're not moved by that. God's not moved by that. That's not God doing a new thing. That's just you shifting according to your own emotions. Now let me help you out for a minute in the Holy Ghost. God will do a new thing, but keep the same principle. You can't get around having faith in God. Jesus said it. No matter what you want to do, whatever you want dried up, you got to have faith in God. Whatever you want to sprout up, You got to have faith in God. Whatever you want to achieve, you got to have faith in God. Not believing. And sometimes, why would God keep starting stuff and we never finish nothing? Why would God keep doing a new thing and you never done an old thing and completed nothing? I'm just asking. I know some, I can feel people getting a little tense. But I'm going to tell you like this, you're going to be all right. Because the truth of the matter is you can't get away from the principle. The principle is solid. The principle is sure. The principle is right. God said this. He going to make you trust him. You know what? Let me talk personally, y'all. I was planning for this prayer to be over. But let me talk personally, y'all. I want y'all to listen to Pastor McKnight for a moment. I am a fifth generational preacher. My dad. That's how I'm way back into the 1800s when it comes to legacy of preaching in my family. All of my life been born and been going to church. Every Sunday, my dad pastored two churches. Some of them were an hour away from each other. Sometimes drive an hour going and an hour back. Ain't but six people in church. We had six people in our family. You just call what I just said? Six people in church, six people in our family. There's been times there was nobody but our family in church, and we would have to have church by ourselves as a family. My dad, my mom, my oldest brother who's the presiding bishop now, my brother John and my sister Jan and myself. And I remember one Sunday night we was having some, that's four services a day on Sunday. Sunday school, morning worship, WWC, and night service. Y'all ain't talking to me. And guess what? We will go. You got to understand this. We will go. And I remember we had an old piano in the corner. You know, it's 88 keys on the piano. Probably about 46 on that one was working. My dad stood up from the pulpit, old wooden pulpit. We was on wooden benches. He looked at my brother, Bishop James E. McKnight, who had never played before, and say, get up and go play the piano. My brother looked. He got up because my dad told him to get up and go play, and went and started playing the piano. Had never played before. End up being our choir director and musician of the church. Legacy that went down to his son. My nephew Devin is an amazing musician. But when the bishop, my dad, spoke to his son and told him to get up and go do it, he got on the piano. At that time, I couldn't play the piano like my brother. I was like, man, you know, Bishop, you could have spoke to me. But see, we had some other stuff left. It was a tambourine though, so I learned how to play the tambourine, learned how to play what we used to call the bass drum, and you just did whatever you had to do for the church. Because you follow the instructions. And when the man of God spoke, they had to have faith in what was said, and you got blessed because you stuck with the principle. Jesus told Peter, he said, man, you got to stick with the principle. That's the reason why the world is in the shape it's in right now. Because we are missing the principle. You got to turn that child. You got to turn your body. You got to, okay. I'm sorry. but I'm bothered. And I didn't want I plan to be this transparent. I'm bothered. We can have faith to have church, but still cancer is taking over. Still sickness and disease is taking over. Faith to assemble, but not faith to drive out the devil. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Are we having faith in religion? Are we having faith in the same old rigmarole? Are we having faith in the system? This has not been easy for me to do. I've been around the church all my life. Let me tell you something. The third Sunday, I called my mom and she was laughing. I told my brother Bishop, I said, man, you know, after I missed that third Sunday, and I was home that third, after that third Sunday, I'm not going to church in March. I literally almost felt like I needed to get on my knees and repent, like I had sinned against God, because I had been programmed to act a certain way. I believe in fellowship. We need church. We need ministry. But what about when God orders us to be tested by faith? Even I told a pastor, one of my spiritual sons from Georgia on yesterday, I said, son, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me real good. I said, you being tested as a leader. I said, you are being tested as a leader because it's easy for us to get up and preach faith. Oh, he'll make a way. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's our this. That's when everything good. But are you keeping the principle of what Jesus said, that I can speak to something and it can dry up, but I'm not speaking it for me. I'm speaking it for the principle by which I live my life on, and that is have faith in God. Have faith in God. You might not can get to your child, but God can. You might not have a job, but God can take. This is the perfect season to have faith in God. And you know when God going to get the glory? Some of us, when this situation is over and clear and it served the purpose. And see, that's the problem I have right now. We are trying to not find out what the purpose of us going through this season is. We just trying to get back to what we call normal. I heard it said on the CNN. I heard it said on MSNBC. I heard it said on Fox. I heard it said on different news. We just want to get the country back. The country ain't going to never get back to normal. This country will never be normal again. America will never be normal. You know why? Because they have decided that they can be great without God. Now, it's a perfect time that if you're living in an apartment for you to get your house in the midst of the pandemic, it's a perfect time for you to write that song. It's a perfect time for you to write that book. It's a perfect time for you to just be able to look at yourself and take time to see what you need to do in self-improvement, self-enrichment. What are you doing to empower yourself with all this time? What are you doing to make yourself better so when God begins to set up the kingdom for the latter-day revival, have you worked on your spirit? Do you have faith in God? Can you not be shaken by what the enemy is saying? Because you have taken out so much time to sear your mind and protect your spirit until there's nothing that can rattle you. I'm not going through hell and don't get some of heaven. And I ain't talking about dying and going to heaven. I'm talking about heaven on earth. You know why? Because I have the principle of faith, which is have faith. You better not have faith in your job. You can't have faith in your bank account. I was going to be able to do a deposit and couldn't deposit in the place that had it, but couldn't deposit because the place was closed. Lord Jesus, when I saw yesterday that they talking about closing up 400 Starbucks this year, I said, Lord, just don't let it be mine. Even places I didn't never think were closed. Like companies filing bankruptcy. See, you got to understand that God is setting this world up to where anybody who thinks they going to come on my earth and do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and don't give me no glory or trust, I'm going to shut you down. It's going to get worse until we get knowledge that God will make it better. So if you want to have verse 24, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, you better believe that you receive them and you'll have them, but you got to go back to verse 22. You got to have faith in God. My God, somebody need to hear what God is saying. This world done got so bad to the psychic done start praying. Lord, have mercy. This world done got so bad to where people calling on God that really don't want him. They just want relief. And God knows the difference. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy, for your kindness and your consideration. You're amazing, God, and you do amazing things, and we so need you. We're nothing without you. But through you, we can do all things. We won't be influenced by man, because man don't know the answer. We're looking for direction from people that don't even know God. We're believing people that don't even serve God. What is this? That the believer is seeking guidance from the unbeliever. It can't be from God. God, I ask you to give us wisdom. And out of all our getting, we got to get an understanding. Any day we haven't trusted you, any moment that we want to take matters in our own hands, we repent. We don't let God arrive. And all our enemies be scattered. We're going to ask you to order our steps in your will and in your way. We're going to walk with you and let the crowd walk with the crowd. God, I hear you speaking to my spirit. The very first message I ever preached in my life, you just brought it to me to say it in this prayer. And that is, if I lost everything and still have Jesus, that's enough to start over again. God, somebody needs a restart. Somebody needs a fresh start. Somebody needs guidance. Somebody needs direction. Somebody needs peace. Somebody needs healing. Somebody needs covering. Somebody needs heaviness to be lifted. Somebody's backslid. They need to get back into your graces, into your face. God, God, this country is in an uproar. The enemy is trying to silently wipe out our children to make them think that they're invincible. And God, they are getting sick every day. I'm buying every plan of the enemy. I bind every attack of the enemy, and I speak by your spirit and by your power that we win with you. kill those who are from that spirit of suicide. Heal those who are on drug addictions, alcoholic addictions. Heal those who are suffering from oppression and depression, opioid crisis and prescription drugs, and heal those and set them free. Oh, God, bless those who are helping others in this COVID-19 and even in surgeries and cancer, and those in the hospitals, those in the convalescent homes, those in hospice, those who are sick behind prison bars. I pray, God, those who are homeless, those who are helpless, those who don't have nothing to eat or no place to go. Thank you, God, that you're the healer and deliverer. Touch families, touch households, touch children, touch the institution of family, that the fabric of what you ordered family to be will move forward according to your word. I speak by your spirit and your power that you give us more revelation and insight. We dare not be afraid of who likes your message. We dare not be afraid of who don't like your delivery. For the word of God is true, as sharp, as quick, as powerful than any two-edged sword. We bind every satanic intent, every demonic instruction. We bind deceit. We bind maliciousness. We bind every spirit of evil. We come against every spirit of rage and racism and separatism and those that are trying to provoke anger and hatred in our nation. Come against every silent offender and hater of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you right now, God, that needs are met. Those who are stressed out and those who are dealing with anxiety and fear of how they're going to make it and don't know what they're going to do, I pray you open up. This is the perfect time for you to rise up and show how powerful you are. Not that we need to have to see it. We already know you are all powerful. But God, manifest your favor. Give us instructions. We're not going to get out of your will. We're going to stay in your will. We win with you. And we thank you right now that we're going to stick with the principle of faith, knowing we're going to win with the principle. I'm going to have, and we're going to have faith in God. We're going to see God move. God, I just heard you say, by way of the Holy Ghost, to declare the supernatural. We speak the supernatural to where when the enemies thought that you wouldn't move, to where the negative scribes of religiosity thought they would never see prosperity or victory. I decree and I declare that the supernatural has been activated in the heavens. I bind every prince of Persia. I come against those demonic forces that want to delay and detour and try to deny the miracles that God has promised. I decree and declare that the supernatural is released. God's favor is about to take over the situation. And I thank you for victory. Pray for those that are lost, those that are not saved, those that are broken, and those that don't feel like they have hope, those that don't feel like you love them. I let them know they can open up their hearts to you and give their hearts to you. Just ask you to wash them and forgive them, and I ask you to save them and fill them with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you. It is already done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't do nothing else for me, if you never heard any message from me, hear this one. The principle of faith, the principle of success, the principle of to live a winning life, the principle to keeping the anointing, the principle to reaching your purpose and destiny and life's fulfillment is to not let anything, anyone, any voice, any test stop you from having faith in God. Be blessed. Be safe. Be wise. This is Pastor Jonathan McKnight. God bless.